Welcome back to the Sacred Penning Podcast. I'm your host, Becca Ray. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, international best-selling author, and a transformative soul journaling practitioner. I've experienced and taught the power of this sacred practice for 24 years and journaled since the age of 8. Every Wednesday, we provide somatic, meditative inspiration and spirit-led prompts to pen your way to brighter days. Let's activate energetic discoveries together. It's all at your fingertips. Ready to get gritty? Let's dip in. Welcome back to the Joyful Journaling Podcast. I'm your host, Becca Ray. It is day 11 of our self-love journaling challenge. I cannot believe that we are growing so close to the close of our time together over these 14 days. We've looked at different body parts. We've looked at different emotions. It's just incredible to think about all the feedback that I've been getting about how people use their journals in so many different ways and how they've been interacting with these prompts. When you put these things out there, and when I put them out there, I receive them intuitively and just kind of go with the flow. You never know how people are going to use them. And I'm so glad that people have really had some good interactions with the content and hopefully really dug into that journaling habit. Today we are going to talk about the topic of what brings us to our knees. Everybody has moments in life that metaphorically bring us to our knees, where all we can do is look up, surrender, and wonder how we're going to get through. It's in getting through those times that bring us to our knees that really get us to the other side of joy. Today, I'm going to share one of those moments with you out of my own story. So the research involved is personal today, and I want you to think about something lately or something in your life that has brought you to your knees. Maybe there's something bringing you to your knees metaphorically right now, where you wonder if you have the answers within you, you're seeking outside help, you're digging deep within to find that help. You're just looking for what you didn't think you had the capacity to handle. You just look for the strength to handle things that you didn't think you had the capacity to handle. Today's story time is taken from my own book. So I'm being really vulnerable with you here. And this is from chapter 14. And this is the story about my son and our experience that brought me to my knees when he was a little boy. Chapter 14 is called One Red Request. And the story is set in 2006. Children come with a hearty case of the gimmies, why, and no, but we never grow tired of the way they light up in their receiving. A healthy balance goes a long way, especially when it comes to Santa and your four-year-old, particularly when your child has recently been diagnosed with autism. We knew our kid was wicked smart. I didn't know any other kid who knew how to write numbers up to 100 on the blackboard wall we had painted for him to doodle in our kitchen wall. And the kid could barely talk and was doing things like this under the age of 2. He also began to memorize the names, faces, and dates of the presidents of the United States on his breakfast placemat, something I'd picked up for him at a local grocery store because he had been visually drawn to them. He memorized them and could mimic them and wanted to use our dress-up play area clothes to be them. But something just seemed off, not right. So we sent our wicked smart son off to a local private preschool. It had only been a few weeks of tearful separations at drop-off and too many incidents of anger when other children misaligned his toys in their shared play space, and the inability for him to merely cope, no less deal with other kids in his space and sense of organization, for the very sweet, kind teacher to sit me down for a gentle and brave conversation. Miss Jamie had the hardest job in the world to ask me questions, trying to see if possibly our kid was more than smart or difficult, but neuroatypical. That was the beginning of our autism journey. And within months, we were off to the specialist for a diagnosis, consultation at the University of Rochester, the experts in autism. Autism, ADHD, sensory integration disorder, OT, PT, SLP, therapist, preschool special education, and figuring out how to help our kid figure out his own little world. It was heavy, and there were experts and a plan, but really, no answers, no definites, and all we had was heartbreak. A great community have autism in due to the school system, and we had hope. Will he be able to do quote-unquote normal things? Will he ever have friends? Will he be able to have self-regulation skills? Will he ever be able to make or understand a joke? Will he ever be able to join a sports team? Will he ever fall in love one day? Will he be able to speak properly? Will he always obsess over transitions, his own agendas, and his areas of interest? Will he ever be able to sleep without a million covers, even in the summer or under a weighted blanket? Will he ever be able to focus and pay attention? Will he be able to read and write? Will he be able to understand God, blessing, or faith? Will he ever go to college or be able to hold down a job? Will he have any ability or quality of life? Or will he be frustrated, seeing all in black and white terms his whole life? This was not the childhood we expected. No one in our family had these quote-unquote issues, this diagnosis. No one that we knew of anyway. Turns out, I found my birth family in 2017, and many of the young grandsons in our family would have neurodiversity and mental health challenges from early ages. How was I supposed to know? I looked for the information and had been denied by the state of New York, the Catholic Church, and what had felt like life. Turns out, something skipped the children but went right to a few of the grandchildren. Oh, hidden genetics. So this autism was my fault? Finding out years later, my son was none too pleased with this inheritance. And though we grieved heavily, when we heard the verdict, we did not let it determine the course of Ray's life. We let it connect him with the services and providers he needed, the teachers and specialists he needed. And oh, my, our boy came out on top. But at that time, this was all a teary blur in many moments of prayer to, please, dear God, help my hurting child. Help us, help him rise above this and shine. And God did. So what is a family to do the Christmas after an autism diagnosis? What else does a family do at that Christmas time? You believe. You ride the Polar Express in your heart and you try to make things right with Santa magic. There's nothing Santa could have given Mommy and Daddy that year to make up for what we felt that we had lost. There's nothing we wouldn't have done to help our son succeed. And we would always feed into something we knew that lit Ray up. And the thing we knew lit Ray up was music. Before asking for a very special toy for what I'll call Diagnosis Christmas, Ray was already a one-man band. He had a drum set, electric guitar, microphone, egg shakers, train whistle, boron, slide whistle, tambourine, a real piano, and the pot and pan set to boot. That year for Christmas, Ray wanted one thing, just one request, a red acoustic guitar. No other type would do, and so Mommy and Daddy's quest began. Anything to find joy in a Christmas in the shadow of his recent diagnosis. We searched all over every local toy shop and music shops in cities all over New York State. Even grandmas were on the lookout, other family members and friends. We finally found one in Corning, New York, at a fancy toy store, a few weeks from Christmas, right there in the window. Music was one thing that made perfect sense to Ray, and his rhythm and note memory were amazing. Ray would memorize song lyrics and sing, not even knowing what he was saying. He needed a lot of speech therapy to say words correctly, but singing took that focus away. Music was its own organization that someone else figured out for him, and he simply imitated it. Whereas blocks, wooden puzzle numbers, cars, stuffed animals and Star Wars figurines, trains and Lego blocks all needed a pattern to be lined up, sorted, and made sense of, music made Ray curious and passionate. We even took Ray to see classical music at the Corning Center Museum of Glass, where top orchestras, pianists, and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band came to play. Too many people bothered Ray, and certain noises set him off, changes in routine, the lights in the grocery store, certain textures of foods, but never music. It's no surprise that early during the COVID-19 pandemic, Ray began to teach himself piano on something on his iPad he found. And by the time Christmas rolled around in 2020, he wanted a weighted electric piano his senior year. He had indeed taught himself to play. Then, in 2021, he began to transpose music and compose his own creations. He fell in love with Bach, Beethoven, and Franck. He studied counterpoint, Baroque subtleties, and taught me all about the fugue. Ray graduated with honors from high school, the class of 2021, a pandemic graduation experience. He was nominated into the National Honor Society over a Zoom call. He entered a place in the Honors College. Yet when I visited him for Parents' Weekend, it didn't come as a surprise to find him not wanting to engage of all the typical exciting parent weekend activities. He wanted to take me on a private tour of his favorite places, the practice rooms with his favorite piano on campus, and the library where his favorite history, philosophy, and books of French poetry were curated with care. At college, Ray continues to find the practice room one of his safest and most relaxing places to be. Piano is now his blissful escape from all the noise and chaos of college life surrounding him. He shines in his own way. He is handling college life on his own terms, and he is stepping into adulthood, a neurodivergent man with passion, devotion to his studies in history, French, art, and religion. He is a person of faith and of promise, as his mother before him, as his mother continues to be. Parents come with a hearty case of heavy sighs, why, and please God, no. But we never grow tired of the way we light up in our giving. We never take for granted the small victories and the miracles along Parenting Avenue. As Santa provided the red guitar, as Ray grew up singing and playing and adapting, advocating for his needs, and mastering so many things the doctors told us would never happen, we pause again. From the beginning, I set my intentions for my son and prayed over his life very seriously a handful of times. One of them was collapsing to the kitchen floor, saturating the pattern of linoleum below with my tears the week we received his diagnosis. I was brought to my knees. The most recent time was walking a certain distance behind him as he attended college commitment day. I released him to the campus. I said a prayer and set positive intentions for all of his life in these upcoming 4 years. Those dreams are his responsibility now, and he navigates them with courage, not yet with ease, but with most egregious tenacity, just as his mother had prayed for all those years ago. We had been the ones answering Ray's requests, but were we really? Or did God have a greater plan from the beginning? Through so much trial and error, phases of ornery and other moments of joy and sheer elation, we received our one request too, a healthy young man living out the dreams no one bet he could. Heartache will tell you one thing, request another. Choose faith. It's the one investment you can always rely on for return. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Think of a time you crumbled, but you refused to leave the paces crummy on the floor. Give your past self a hug. Give yourself a hand to help your past self out. Today's journal prompt. Remember a time that truly brought you to your knees. A time where you didn't know where else to turn and perhaps chose the road of faith. Think of a time that brought you to your knees where you felt you had nowhere else to turn and perhaps, like me, chose the road of faith. Take 5 minutes now to write about that time. Thank you. Be really interested to see what came up for you in the time that brought you to your knees or is bringing you to your knees right now. Whatever you call faith, did you reach for it? Did you reach within and look for the deeper answers? Did you look up and know that those answers would be provided within? I wonder how your story turned out. My son's story is his own. You have your own. But I'm sure that your journals are filled with different times that you've been brought to your knees. Or maybe you're at one of those moments now. And though literally our knees don't wear the scars or don't carry the pain, embodying joy comes from those times when we metaphorically hit the ground, have to look up or look deep within and kind of reach for that joy that's going to be found on the other side. We have been through so many different reflections over the last 11 days, and we have some beautiful ones to come up over the weekend. I hope that you'll join us for our very special retreat on Saturday. It is from 11 to 1 Eastern. It's live on Zoom. If you can't attend live, please know that I will send you a recording. If you'd like to join us, the link is in my show notes. It's $14. And $1 from each participant goes to the Renewal House of Canton, New York, a place for victims of family violence. Thank you for joining us for day 11. We'll see you tomorrow.